Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Emmanuel. Obviously, this is the first time we have had a service like this, but we welcome you and we trust that as we gather this morning in our various places, we will know the presence of God. If you are joining us for the first time because you've received our invitation but you've never been inside our building, we give a very special welcome to you. So let's follow our normal practice now, and we will come to the Lord in prayer. And after I have said a short prayer, we will then say together, wherever you are, a prayer that many of you will have learnt when you were children in school or possibly in Sunday school, if you're that generation. But we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. So let's come to God in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, we come into your presence this morning. We thank you for the gift of your grace. We thank you, Lord, that even though we are in very difficult circumstances as a nation, yet we can come into the presence of God. Lord, we pray that you would be merciful to us. We pray that you would forgive us our sins. We pray that you would give us your peace at this time and grant to us, we pray, a true understanding of your love for us. Lord, we draw near to you. We pray that you will draw near to us wherever we are this morning. Thank you that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, taught us to pray, and he taught us a special prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now, sadly this morning, we're not going to be able to sing, and in the absence of singing, what I want to do is to read some hymns to you. Maybe if this continues, we will be able to work out some means whereby we can have some music as part of the service. So our first hymn this morning is from our supplement, and it's number 7 if you have a copy of the supplement. And it says these words, Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come, bow before him now, with reverence and fear. In him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, our radiant King of light. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith, receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. We're now going to take our Bible reading, and for this morning's reading, we return to a passage that we looked at in our midweek meeting on Wednesday, Psalm 37. Depending on how long this crisis continues, I think we will be coming back to this on a number of occasions. So, if you've got a Bible and you'd like to open it, it's Psalm 37. If you're listening this morning for the first time, and you don't have a Bible, well, you'll see our website is displayed at various points in the service, please get in touch with us, and we would happily make sure that we can make every effort to get a Bible to you. So let us hear God's word in Psalm 37. It's a psalm of David. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. God will bless to us both the reading and the hearing of his word. Now, at this point, I'd like to say to the children, would you like to come to the front? But obviously you can't come to the front of the church, but mums and dads, perhaps you'd allow them to be the closest to the screen for the next few moments. This isn't going to be easy for me this morning, because when I'm talking to the children, I like to be able to ask questions, I like to see their faces, I like to hear their comments. But I'm grateful that I know our children so well, that even as I talk this morning, I can have you in my mind's eye, and I can imagine some of you putting your hands up and wanting to answer. Well, this morning, I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ when he was a baby, because today, not only is it special because it's our first time to have our services like this, but it's also special because it's Mother's Day, and I hope that all of you have done something kind for your mum this morning, and I trust that you're all having a very special time together within your families. Those of us who are older, we haven't got the privilege of our mums being around these days, but we can still give thanks for them and for every memory that we have of them. Now, Jesus, God who became man, who came and lived on this earth, he came as a human being, and he lived as a child like the rest of us. And we are told that when he was about 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem with Joseph and his mother Mary. He went there for a special festival, and when the festival was finished, as is typical in that sort of gathering, everybody left, and it would seem Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was with them, because the whole crowd was beginning to travel back to their home village. But towards the end of the day, when they would have expected the children to come and to join with the family for a meal, Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus wasn't there, and he'd actually stayed back in Jerusalem. So they said to the rest of the friends and their relatives and the people from their home village, look, you carry on. We're going to have to go back and find Jesus. And when they went back, they actually found him having hunted high and low for a couple of days, They found him in the temple with the wise men, and there he was talking to them, and he had so impressed them that they talked with Mary and said what a special child he was. And Mary and Joseph asked him why he'd stayed back. Jesus said, "Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" Or in another translation, that I must be about my Father's business. And it seemed as though he was being a little bit rude. But he wasn't. He was just trying to explain to them that he was doing what God wanted of him. But he didn't demand to stay in Jerusalem. We're told in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51 that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The fact that although Jesus was the Son of God throughout his earthly life, he was a special child, but he grew up honoring his parents and obey him. Now, these next few weeks are not going to be easy for any of you, are they? Because you are not going to school. Now, part of you will say, "Yippee, I'm not at school." But another part of you will think, "Oh, I'm not going to see my friends." You'll miss those special events in school. I know for some of you, it's going to be the end of your primary school years, and you're going to move on into high school of some description, and you're going to miss out on those special events. So it's not going to be easy. And you'll, after a few days, soon realize how small your house is, how small your garden is, and there will be times when perhaps you don't love your mum and dad as you ought to, or perhaps you don't love your brother and sister as you ought to, and things will get a little bit difficult. But remember what this verse says about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. So during this week, I want you to think, now, what can I do to make sure that I am submissive and that I show respect? In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God speaks clearly to children. In the Ten Commandments, it is said, "Honor your father and your mother." Jesus, when he grew up and became a famous teacher in his home country, he said to those listening, "Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then the Apostle Paul, a man who wrote a number of the letters in the New Testament, wrote specifically to children, and he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother." So, on Mother's Day, I want you to honor, in particular, your mum and dad, show them respect, and to care for them. But this week, I've got a little bit of homework for you. I don't normally do this, but I know that you're going to have plenty of time on your hands, even though school may have sent you home with homework. I want to give you two things that you might be able to do. First of all, the verse that we read this morning was from Luke chapter 2, verse 51. And I want you to write that out on a sheet of paper and see if you can make a really special, colourful picture of it. And if you do a good job of that, perhaps your mum and dad can take a photograph and they can share it on the church WhatsApp group so that other people can see it. Or maybe if you're a child and you are not part of our church, then you could just send it via the message section on our website, and we would see that and be able to share it with other people. And then, for those of you children who are able to read, I've got something else for you to do. You could take the book of Proverbs, which is in the middle of the Old Testament, and I want you to see how many times the following words are used, either child or children, or the word son or sons, because in the Bible sometimes we use the word son to speak of all type of children. Find out how many verses there are that have got these words in, and maybe try and write some of them out, or maybe even learn them. And then a note for people who are listening in, perhaps for the first time. As I said earlier, if you don't have a Bible, then please just contact us through the website, and we will do all that we can to get a Bible to you. Now, at this point, we would normally sing from our catechism, but we're not going to do that this morning, but I'm going to read a hymn from our hymn book, and it's one that is specifically for children, and it's one that many of us will know. It's got a chorus, but I won't read the chorus until the end. I'll just read the four verses and then read the chorus at the end. Again, if you're using your hymn books at home, it's 898, 898. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Jesus loves me still, when I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high, watches with me where I lie. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. If I trust him when I die, he will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. At this point in our service, we are going to say a prayer together, or I will lead you in prayer, and we will remember those who have been mothers to us. Maybe you're in a situation where you've never known your mother, but somebody else has cared for you, and we will remember people like that, but we will remember also the great need in our country at the moment. We are transmitting from just near to the Royal Gwent Hospital, and we know, sadly, that there many people are very, very busy, but we will pray for those who have got this responsibility to address immediately these particular needs. So let's come to God in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, we come into your presence this morning. We thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, even though he was the Son of God and knew power, he knew authority, yet he daily and at different times would make a special effort to spend time with you in prayer. We thank you today that the Lord Jesus Christ, who prayed when he was here on earth, continues to pray for us in heaven. We pray, O gracious God, that you would hear us now as we come to you. We thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, that as we pray, even though we don't always know what to say, we have the assurance that you take our prayers and you present them in heaven. We pray that you would help us at this time to be able to put our words together carefully and to honour our God. Lord, we pray that as we pray together now, you will help us to pray when we're apart from one another. Lord, you know this week is going to be very difficult for many people, and it's going to be difficult for many weeks to come. Lord and God, would you just please help? Would you understand? Would you help us to understand? Would you be gracious to us? And Lord, would you come to us, we pray, in a very special way at this time. Father, on this Mothering Sunday, we thank you that the Bible clearly teaches us that God created man and woman at the beginning of this world. He called them to be fruitful and to produce children. And we thank you, Father, for the children that you have given to us in our church, in our nation, and in our families. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of family life for those of us who enjoy it. But Lord, on a day like this, we are conscious that some people have never known their mums. We are conscious that some have lost their mums through illness and death. We realize, Lord, that we live in a very sad world where sadly homes are broken and it's not always easy to live together as families. But on this day, we pray that you would help those of us who live in families to be able to truly give you thanks. But today, Lord, we thank you for those who have acted as mothers to us. Lord, you know for some children, they have had to live in foster families or they've lived in adoptive families. We pray for them at this time. We thank you for the parents who have reached out and who have provided care in those situations. We thank you, Father, for women who have been, in effect, mothers to us. We think of school teachers. We think of Sunday school teachers. We think of those who have perhaps led clubs where we have been able to go along and to hear someone speak to us and care for us. We thank you for those mother-type figures in our lives, particularly within the church, and we give you thanks for that. Lord, we pray for our children during this week and in these coming weeks that you would help them to respond to the message that was heard this morning, that they might be submissive to their parents, and in being submissive to their parents, they might be submissive to God. Lord, we pray for our nation at this time. Lord, you know that this pandemic has swept completely across the world. And Lord, we come to you now conscious that everything has been stripped away from us. All the things that we felt at one time gave us security have been taken away. Lord, we come to you now as the unchanging God, the only secure point in our world, and we pray that you would hear our prayers. Remember our government and those in authority over us. We pray that you would give them wisdom. We pray, Father, for those in the health service, those who are on the front line. We think of the nurses who are having to treat patients with this virus. Lord and God, would you help them and would you be merciful to them? We remember the doctors who have to make decisions and we pray again, give them wisdom. We would remember the scientists and the professionals who are focusing at this time to try to produce some sort of cure or vaccine for this virus. Lord and God, would you be gracious and help in that context? Father, we think of other needs that come from this, the paramedics, those in other emergency services who have got to care for and help. We remember, too, those who were in food retail. And Lord, we just thank you for their continued service and for their concern to get food out to all of us. Lord, we pray that you would give us a spirit of caring for one another, and that you would protect us from bulk buying and hoarding while others maybe will go short. Lord and God, even though we cannot maybe interact with each other as closely as we would like to, we pray that you would help us to draw near to you at this time. So, Father, now we come into your presence, and as we will shortly hear your word, we pray that you would speak to us, help us, Lord, through hearing your word, to care for one another, to be able to pick up a phone, to be able to send a text, to spend time with people at a distance. And may the love of God be shed abroad among us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, it's strange saying amen at the end of a prayer and not having anyone to respond. Please excuse me while I take a drink. So we're going to come to God's word now. And if you've just joined us, you will see behind my head here Psalm 37. And that is the passage of scripture that we read together. And that is where I want to focus our attention this morning. On Wednesday evening, as a church, those of us who gathered via Zoom will remember that we focused on verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. But this morning, I want us to look at verses that surround this. That exhortation in verse 3 is a good foundation. It is important that we trust in the Lord. It's important that we do good. It's important that we're faithful. But the facts are, we all fail, don't we? And we, like Peter, when he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of a storm, he got out of the boat, he walked on the water, but when he saw the storm, his faith grew less, and he began to be afraid, and he sank. Now, we don't condemn Peter for that, but we thank God that that story is in the Bible, because it reminds us that our faith can be small. And there may be times during this coming crisis when our faith is threatened, when we wonder what, in fact, is going to happen. Similarly, in the New Testament, we're told about a man called Demas. He had been a friend and a colleague of the Apostle Paul, and they'd worked together. But Paul writes these words that Demas has forsaken me, or Demas has left me, because he loved this present world. And it may be that over recent years, you've been a person like that. You have forsaken the Lord. You have looked at this world and all that it has to offer. And you've thought, I've got to think of these things. I've got to do these things. I can think of God later. But just think of what has happened in this past week. Things that we felt at one time were so important, they have been taken away from us. On a basic level, to go out for a meal together, maybe nothing grand, just a local chippy or something. No longer are we able to do it. Think of the place that sport has taken in our world. And we were desperate to make sure that we were there for that match or for that event. And we thank God for these things, but they've been taken away from us. And we've got to be careful and ask ourselves, what is it that we are trusting in? What is it that we think is best in our lives? Now, as I read this passage, I am reminded of some of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. And verse 2 says, they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ says that none of us can add a span to our life. It will come to an end. And then in verse 11, we have this statement, but the meek shall inherit the earth. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is a virtue that is despised in our day and generation. Everybody's got to be strong. Everybody's got to know their rights. But recent days have changed these perspectives. I wonder, there in the privacy of your own home this morning, there as you've gone to your bed in these last few evenings, what have you thought about? Is it a headache? Is it a sore throat? Have I got a temperature? We all go through these things. You wonder if it's hit you. Or maybe you're saying, oh, I will never be able to do that again. Or will I ever be able to do that? And these things cause us to fret. Well, look at these opening verses. Let me read them again. Perhaps you haven't got a Bible with you. But verses 1 and 2 say, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Friends, as I develop this talk, I want to focus for a few moments on a pointless fretting or a pointless focus in your life. Now, I've never been a great carpenter or anything like that, but I can remember as a child at school being introduced to a fret saw. The only saw I'd known up until that point was a saw that we used for cutting logs and preparing for fires. But the fret saw seemed so small and so tiny. And the idea of a fret saw is that it is small, that you can take the blade out, you can put it into a small hole, and you can cut a neat line, as it were, inside a piece of wood. And lovely little tool, but in order to use it, you've got to fret. It's got to be back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it is that back and forth movement that produces the sawing action. And that's what we're like, isn't it, when we are fretting. We won't put something down. We say, like a dog with a bone. But I want to ask you today, what causes you to fret? What is causing you to fret at this moment? Are you one of those who is thinking, will we have enough food to get through this? I wonder, there are many other applications. But notice, again, verse 1 says, do not be envious of wrongdoers. Now, we've got to be careful about this word envy and jealousy, because there's a good part to jealousy. God describes himself as a jealous God. And the way he uses the word jealousy, describing himself, is like a husband wanting the love of his wife. That is a good jealousy. When we are separated from one another as married couples, it's good to have that jealousy that wants to bring us back and wants us to be together. But sadly, there is a bad side to jealousy. We can see what somebody else has. We can see what is available. And we say, I want it. And it drives us. And it destroys our lives, because it is an unnecessary distraction. And that is what David is saying here. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Now, David was a well-known man in the Old Testament, and he made mistakes, but he's probably writing here as an old man, and he is saying, look, don't make those mistakes. I remember a friend of mine recently going through an experience in life, and he'd made mistakes. He was well on into midlife, and he spoke to young men, and he said to them, look, I shouldn't be here, and I want to say to you, let this be the only time you need correction. And that is what David is saying here. I've allowed wrong things to distract me. Evildoers and wrongdoers, those who live in opposition to God's word. And as Christians, we read the Bible because God has spoken to us in the Bible. God continues to speak to us in the Bible. But sadly, we live in a world that has flown in the face of God. And it seems that many people thought that they had prospered. They thought they had it all together. And maybe we've looked at those people and thought, well, I'm trying to live as God wants me to live. But look what they've got, and yet I haven't got it. In another psalm, it wasn't David who wrote this, but a man named Asaph, he says, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And that happens so often, doesn't it? But look what it says here. They will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. We're well into March. We've had a mild winter. And many of us will have seen our gardens and our parks blossoming with the lovely daffodils and other spring flowers that mark this time of year. But if you're careful, you'll see that those beautiful displays of daffodils are now beginning to fade. They're getting brown around the edges, and pretty soon they will be gone. Spring, in a way, is a short season. But friends, what of this life? We think that we will live forever. We don't maybe consciously think that, but the way we go about things, well, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do the other. But friends, it'll come to an end. And even if we live to 100, or one lady whose funeral I conducted a couple of years ago, she'd live to 105. But what is that in comparison to eternity? We will fade. We will wither away. Friends, don't spend your life in pointless fretting. Don't spend your life in a pointless focus. So let's move on and be more positive now, because in verse 4, David says this, delight yourself in the Lord. And moving from a pointless focus, we are now coming to a delightful focus. And in verse 3, David had called his readers to trust in the Lord. But here, he's going a bit further. Trust can be grudging. Oh, yes, I will do this. It's what is required of me. I know that it will work, but I'm not going to do this with a good spirit. But David's saying, no, don't be like that. Don't do it grudgingly. Delight to do it. What do we mean by the word delight? Well, let me give you a personal example. A few weeks ago, on March the 9th, one of our granddaughters was celebrating her birthday, and she had a bike. Well, thanks to modern technology, not only were we able to talk to her, but we were able to see her. And to say she was delighted is an understatement. Grandma, Grandad, look at this. And she got on her bike, she cycled the length of the kitchen and lounge area in an open plan home. She got off, she turned it around, and she was absolutely delighted. Friends, what is it that delights you? What is it that, in a way, overcomes you in your life? Who is it that you want to talk about? Well, let's think of the experience of this last week. While we have been preparing for this service, Neil, who's here in the church with me now, played to me last Sunday evening service. And there, at the beginning of the service, our church secretary made the announcements, this will happen, that will happen. He guarded it. He was careful. He said, God willing. Well, although we announced the meetings with confidence, all of them have been taken away. That's an example of things that we prepare for. But what is it that you were planning this week? What is it that's been taken away from you, which is the delight of your heart? Is it food? Is it sport? Is it holiday? Is it money? Sadly, in the world in which we live, I have to ask the question, is it drugs? There are so many things that delight us, which are not satisfying. They're superfluous. We can live without them. But David says to us here, delight yourself in the Lord. Make sure that it is God in Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are the delight of your life. When we delight in something, we want to talk about it. We want to tell people about it. We want them to share in it. And the Lord Jesus Christ, before he went back to heaven, when he had paid the price of our sin by dying on the cross, he said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell the people the good news. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't being self-centered. He wasn't saying, draw attention to him, even though he said, I, when I am lifted up, will draw all men to me. What was he doing? He was saying, I love the truth. I love the truth which says that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And he said, go out there and tell people about it. Tell people that they can find peace in this world. Tell people that they can know forgiveness. I want to ask you today, friends, do you delight in these things? Do you know the power and the presence of God? In an earlier psalm, it is David who writes, and he says this in Psalm 18, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. David delighted in his God. Another psalm says, I love the Lord because he has heard my cry. He's heard my prayer. Friends, do you realize today that Jesus is willing to answer your prayer? Even though you've lived without him, even though you have delighted in these things that have been taken away from us this week, God is willing to save all who will call upon him. Why? Because of his character. Let me read you a couple of verses from Exodus where God shows his character to Moses. Exodus 34 describes God in this way. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Do you see that character of God? He is merciful, he is gracious, he's slow to anger, and he is willing to forgive. Yes, the worst of sinners, the worst of sin. The New Testament says to us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you might say to me, Bernard, can I be sure about this? Well, let me read you this description of God in Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Behold, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot revoke it. That man was saying that God delights to bless his people and to forgive them, and he will not change his mind. He will not say one thing today and another thing tomorrow. This whole virus situation has had people on the back foot all the time. We will do this. And they say, right, we'll do this. And they do it. And then the following day they have to say, no, we can't do that because of this. And yet God is not like that. He is a God that we can trust. The Lord Jesus Christ, about whom I was talking with the children, said this, that he had not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Friends, who is going to save us in this tragedy? It is only the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he saves us, we have the assurance that nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. When Jesus hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is complete. The love that I wanted to show to this world is complete." Because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brings us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. What a glorious message. What a wonderful thing to delight ourselves in today. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is what it means to delight in God, to delight in his forgiveness for us, and to delight in our love for others because of his love for us. So your life can have a pointless focus. It can have a delightful focus. And thirdly, it can have satisfying focus. We go back to Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now let me show you the order of this message this morning. My first point was that David corrects a wrong focus in our lives. All those things over there that have been taken away from us. Secondly, he shows us a true focus. Our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, his love for us and his forgiveness. And here he now shows us our response. If we love that focus, if we love that true focus, if we love the Lord Jesus Christ, if we love God who has not only created us, but who has saved us, who has forgiven us, who has been willing to forgive all the sins of which we are guilty. If we delight in him, then we will know true satisfaction. He will give us the desires of our heart. If we delight in God, we will want what God wants and will not be satisfied with anything else. Notice, it says, he will give. It isn't a case of you will earn. It isn't a case of, well, these are your wages. It is a gift. The free gift of God is eternal life. But what are we promised here? What will he give us? He will give us the desires of our heart. Now, sadly, the desires of our heart can be wrong. And when Jesus was talking about the human heart, when he was here on earth, he described it in a terrible way. But let's hear those words. Mark 7 and verse 21 says this, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within, and they defile a person." Friends, so often we can blame other people for our mistakes. So often we want to say that we've got it right, but others have got it wrong. And the reason we do these things is because other people have let us down. No, Jesus says, get a true understanding of yourself. Sin is a part of our lives. It comes from the out, from the inside out. So how is it that we as sinners can delight ourselves in God? It is because we need a new heart, and it is because God is willing to give us a new heart. In the Old Testament, in the prophecy of Ezekiel, God says this, "I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules." Do you hear that? God is willing to give us a new heart. God is willing to say, "Yes, I know that you have sinned. I know that you have failed. I know that you have fallen short of my glory. But give me your heart. I will forgive it. And I will give you a new heart. And I will give you life." And when our hearts are changed, our desires are changed. And I trust that as Christians, during this crisis, we will display true Christian virtue by reaching out to other people, by showing them love. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, said that he came into the world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Friends, in this time of crisis, in this time of pandemic, look to his example and be willing to serve. As you struggle with life, remember the Lord Jesus Christ, because he too struggled with what God the Father wanted him to do. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was crucified, he prayed, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." The desire of his heart was to do the will of God. The desire of his heart was that through him people might be saved. The Apostle Paul, a man who was satisfied with his own religion, when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he met him in a dynamic way. He said to him, "Lord, what shall I do?" And today, you might be asking, "What do I do in this situation?" You delight yourself in the Lord. You turn to him. You go to him. And you enjoy his goodness and his grace. I trust that as we have heard these things from the Word of God today, that God will bless us, that God will use us, and that each of us would stop fretting about the things that we cannot change, but we would indeed trust in the one true living God. God bless you. I'll read what is going to be our final hymn this morning. It's hymn 790, if you've got hymn books at home. "Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, your God will undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul. The hour is chastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord, when disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last." Let me pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can delight ourselves in God. We pray, O gracious God, that even now you would help us to put away the envy and jealousy that has so often ruled our lives. And may we know your gracious presence. Give us that peace which Jesus alone is able to give. Lord, as we close this service, we pray, grant us your blessing. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forever. Amen.